Hello and welcome to The Swiss Connection. I'm Susan Masika. Burnout is an increasingly common problem, and both medical professionals and the public struggle to understand it fully. In Geneva, the World Health Organization has officially classified burnout as a factor that affects health as well as a problem in the workplace. My colleague, Jessica Davis-Plus, has been exploring how burnout is understood in Switzerland. Tell me, Jessica, why is the decision by the World Health Organization, or WHO, so important?
Above all, I think it acknowledges that burnout is a serious problem in society. It has been very difficult to capture how many people are suffering from burnout because there hasn't been a clear definition of it. Anecdotally, I can tell you that it is on the rise. I know three people in a two-block radius in my neighborhood in Switzerland who have taken time off of work because of burnout. With a clear definition, it will hopefully help enable better reporting of burnout by health authorities and be able to provide better support to sufferers.
Wow, and if, as you say, in your neighborhood already, you know, so many cases, you can just imagine that might be all over Switzerland, such a density, huh?
It is true.
But it sounds like the WHO's classification hasn't really answered all the questions, and maybe it's even raised more.
That's true. There is a debate raging in many countries, including Switzerland, as to whether burnout is a disease or not.
So what exactly is behind the debate, and what are the latest Swiss learnings about what causes burnout and how to treat it?
I spoke to a Swedish man who has lived in Switzerland for more than 20 years about his experience with burnout. He was working as a sales representative at a medical device company when he stopped being able to sleep. This was a year before the actual burnout, as he told me during a phone call from his office in Basel.
Complete distress. I could not sleep. I could not eat. I had this impression that I will not be able to survive the end of this day. Have this feeling that you are, do not belong to the society. I must say it's an extremely nasty experience when you start to feel that you are not really in control of your own life and you don't feel this, you know, this lust of life that's kind of going away. And you can imagine if that goes on for a longer time, what that would mean. That means in the end you will commit suicide.
Many burnout sufferers like him talk about this feeling of running in circles, about doing more work but being less productive, eventually leading them to a state of paralysis, loss of control, and serious physical and mental health issues. Despite the real suffering, though, it has been very poorly understood by the medical profession. The term burnout dates back to 1974 when a German-born American psychiatrist named Herbert Freudenberger talked about a mental condition of some of his colleagues in the medical profession. He described it as a state of mental and physical exhaustion caused by one's professional life. However, countries have very different views on this. For example, in the US, just a few years ago, no one talked about having a burnout. They said they were burnt out, but having burnout. That was unusual. Now you have studies that show that some 77% of professionals in the US are suffering from burnout, and it has often been associated with millennials feeling overworked or overwhelmed. One US psychiatrist wrote that a phenomenon so widespread can lose credibility as it appears to be medicalizing everyday distress. In Europe, the view is quite different. In at least 9 countries, it is recognized as an occupational disease, and there's much greater awareness about the condition. The percentage of people suffering in many European countries is in the range of 10 to 30%, let's say.
And what about the Swiss?
The Swiss sit somewhere in between. Society is very much aware of the phenomenon, as I highlighted with the number of people who are experiencing the condition. But the Swiss Parliament recently decided not to recognize it as an occupational illness. Some, particularly left-wing politicians, regretted the decision because it meant that it wouldn't be covered by workplace accident insurance, and they fear employers won't take it seriously. I spoke with the doctor who founded Switzerland's first burnout treatment program in 2004. Dr. Barbara Hochstrasser became the psychiatrist-in-chief of the Meiringen Clinic in 1996.
Burnout is a risk. It's a syndrome of a heightened risk, and it's basically the expression of a chronic stress experience that leads to physical and psychological dysfunctions, which are definitely observable, and can, if the stressors continue and become chronic, basically be a risk factor for psychiatric diseases, and primarily depression. So burnout, you could say, is a precursor that kind of goes from stress, which is something we all experience, that can become chronic. And then you find the syndrome of burnout, and it goes on to develop primarily into depression.
But she wouldn't quite call it a disease.
Initially, it was some kind of a bottom-up experience of feeling burned out. It became something that became interesting to the medical community. We then had to come to an understanding, what is it? Is it a disease, or is it something that is more a syndrome that goes along with other diseases? And I think we are very well on the track by saying it's a risk situation that can lead to other diseases. But as such, it's definitely something that needs to be treated.
So if it's not a disease, then how is it different from everyday stress?
That's a really good question. There are some clear differences according to the people I spoke with. I spoke to, for example, Claudia Kratz, who worked at Credit Suisse for many years and is now a stress management coach.
Well, that's quite a career change. Was it because of stress at her job at the bank?
I have to say, she had a very stressful job and experienced many of the signs and symptoms of burnout. One of the reasons she actually switched careers is because she wanted to help people not to make the same mistakes that she made. She has a very practical view and talks about three phases of burnout or pre-burnout.
There are three main phases of a burnout or of a pre-burnout. The first is a very active one. So it's people keep on running. They are over-engaged. You know, hardly go on holiday or take any time off or so. So a very active phase. The second phase is a phase of where it's much calmer. They already begin to retreat within themselves. And a lot of people think now they're fine again because they're not so hectic anymore, not so much running. They got it. But that's very dangerous because the second phase is already a phase which is much further, and if you begin to treat them, it's much more difficult than in the hectic, aggressive phase. And then the more and more depression is also involved towards the third phase. And then you really need professional advice to get out of it.
Another important point raised by the WHO classification is the association with work. The question this raises, though, is the workplace or the work environment really to blame?
In my case, contributed to this was a boss, direct manager, who did not have empathy. That's clear. I don't know how many, I could number so many cases. I don't want to do that, but lack of empathy. No real agenda in our team. There was no real agenda for how to proceed, how to collaborate across functions, across people. When there were problems, there were always scapegoat scenarios.
Dr. Hochstrasser told me that some factors in our way of life also appear to be aggravating the condition. And this may be part of the reason why it has been referred to as a millennial syndrome in the U.S. For example, work that affects our nervous system, for example, working on the computer, and the emphasis being placed on work, performance, and rewards as our defining value are also really reasons for concern, she says. Our obsession with self-improvement and what she said was narcissism is also problematic.
I do think that it has something to do with the way our work is organized. And, you know, a couple of things are not very healthy. One of the issues is, you know, we have like a continuous possibility to communicate across the world. So we do not have these natural time limits. So you're always in communication or potential communication. There's no limit to nothing. We are in a limitless time. And this inability to have natural limits is obviously some kind of a motivated to continue on. And then we have constant changes in social relationships at the workplace, which is the social relationship at the workplace is extremely important. One of the best buffers against burnout is social support. And if you have constantly new collaborators or new superiors, because people change all the time, you have reorganization after reorganization, insecurities, probably anxiety to lose your job. I mean, this is a real problem.
While most of the studies have focused on people in the medical profession or caretaking, both Hochstrasse and Kratz say it can happen to people in any profession, at any age, of any gender, but there are people at higher risk.
I think it's not so much a question of job, people choose, but personality. It's people who are kind of overcommitted. You know, I've never had a burnout case of somebody who's lazy.
Is this something unique to Switzerland, though? Are there more perfectionists in Switzerland?
I have to say, there are some unique aspects to the work culture here from my own personal experience, but also from the stories I've heard from others.
And while we were preparing this program, I remember saying something about having plenty of time to get it perfect, and you kind of laughed and said, well, close to perfect.
You know, I have realized how much the word perfect is a part of our daily language. Job stress is on the rise in Switzerland, but Kratz talks about something more nuanced in Switzerland.
I think there, in comparison to the US, there's one difference, which I really think is important. In Switzerland, failure is not tolerated. In the US, yes, failing is a good thing. You know, almost if you have never failed, you know, there's something wrong with you. But in Switzerland, failure is really not tolerated. So people think they have to be perfect and do everything 1,000% right. And that's how we are brought up, you know, to perform and to do everything right. And if you fail once, you have a problem.
On the positive side, there is much more attention being paid to the condition of burnout in Switzerland. A couple of public figures, including politicians, have spoken out about their experience in the last couple of years, which has raised awareness. In response, clinics, coaches, and support groups have been popping up all over. The clinic in Meiringen is one of about 10 of these types of clinics throughout Switzerland. It is in a beautiful location in the Bernese Mountains, about an hour from Interlaken, one of Switzerland's most popular tourist destinations.
And also the home of Sherlock Holmes, right?
Yes. It is in many ways like a luxury resort with excellent food and service. It can treat about 27 patients at a time in the specialty clinic, and they are always full. The clinic has developed a very holistic program that includes psychotherapeutic and medical aspects, sports and relaxation exercises, but it also has some unexpected or alternative approaches, such as Chinese medicine and horse riding, as Hochstrasse told me.
The horse is an excellent mirror for the person.
Really?
Yes.
You have to tell me how.
Well, you know, if you are shy, then you will never tell the horse to go away. A lot of people learn that a horse is strong, but they're very sensible. And they learn that they are capable of influencing a horse by their body language. And that gives them a completely new approach to themselves. They realize, I'm not assertive enough, or I'm too assertive. I am really not really engaging, you know, because you need to engage with the horse. It gives you a lot of information. And at the same time, they are extremely impressed by what they experience with the horse. It gives them a sense of happiness. And then there is this very basic sensory inputs of warmth, of smell, of if a horse comes and puts his big head on your shoulder and seems to trust you, you feel like, you know, completely happy. It's a very, very visceral experience, and people really love it.
So how can a person get treatment in a clinic like this with this kind of therapy? And Would it be covered by the health insurance here?
I asked the same question. People who seek such treatment are at an acute, a very acute stage, what is often called exhausted depression, at which point basic health insurance pays for about 4 to 6 weeks in such a clinic.
And does it actually work?
Results are mixed from the people I spoke with. Some say it is essential to help reboot and recover, but reintegration into the workforce can be difficult, and it is very easy for people to fall back into the same trap if the underlying issues in the workplace are not addressed. The Swedish gentleman told me what worked for him.
So meditation, I would say, is probably one of the best soul tools for me to cope with stress. The most important thing that was to stay 3 weeks in the hospital, in a psychiatric clinic. And that is something, I don't know if that exists in other countries, but I'm so grateful for, let's say, the Swiss healthcare system, that you have these opportunities to go to any emergency in Switzerland to tell them, I cannot live anymore, please put me in the clinic, and you can stay there for 3 weeks.
People can be cured of burnout without medication alone, but it takes a long time, according to the psychiatrist I spoke with. It is really a lifelong journey to manage stress and recognize the early signs.
This morning I had a young woman here. She was CEO of a company, very young. She became CEO of a company that was very successful in industry, and she was working. She got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and she stayed until 8 o'clock, and she worked on Saturdays and Sundays, and she was totally fascinated by her job, and she had very wonderful goals, and she was able to achieve them, and then all of a sudden she broke down. And she sat here and said, you know, I'm starting to realize how much I can do and how much relaxation I need. She is unable to be in a city and walk through a group of people. Unable. And she can primarily do things that are not really very highly intellectually challenging. And she's able to maybe garden for 4 hours, and then she's tired. And that's not challenging intellectually. And for her, this is a real concern. Will I be able to perform again on that level?
And what do you think?
I tell her, you will be able to perform, probably not exactly at that exaggerated level, which is not really healthy. And your approach needs to be different. You will be able to perform under higher stress levels. That will come back. Your stress capacities, stress management capacity will come back. But you will have learned that you need to have a balance.
It sounds like good advice no matter what. Thank you, Jessica, for bringing us this story.
You're welcome.
Visit us at swissinfo.ch for many more stories related to living and working in Switzerland. This podcast is produced about once a month. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook to hear about the next one. Or, better yet, subscribe on iTunes to be sure you don't miss it. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Danny Wheeler. Signing off for all of us here at the Swiss Connection, I'm Susan Masika.